Okay. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today, 19th of March, 2019. This morning, as I informed many of you, we are going to have our very special puja. This puja will be carried out before we commence the sharing on the Bodhisattva Way. I will give you a brief sharing. Then after that, I will help you to take the Bodhisattva Walk. So we will, how many candles and incense? Four. So we get new people to light. Yun-chan, you haven't light. Yun-chan? You haven't light the candle. Come. Because she is the, you all should thank her. She is the first one that found me. In the year 2004, she came and invited me to come out to share. Then Song. Alicia. Then one more. Who else? Mrs. Steele. Oh, Mrs. Ho. Yeah, Mrs. Ho, come. We got enough candle. Go and get some small one. Okay, come, light. Bang, light the candle and the incense. Yeah, we get AB to come in also, yeah. Where is Alicia? Ni hai meo tian wa? Yeah, this is Alicia. Never mind. Yeah, she always get the light on. Never mind. Ni you chi ge? Liang ge ke ya? Lai. Lao po lai. Ni hai kei fang yi ge wa? 给我的你，所以来，come and light the candle. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. Then I think you all can rise, make a circle or whatever. Then we will commence the puja offering. Okay, form a circle. Wait, this tree first. That one later. Yeah, you pass to my daughter. Sadhu. Sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we will offer the rest of the item. This one, is it open? Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can go back to your place and be seated. Then before we commence the official puja chanting, you use the normal chanting book. Then just to brief those who are new, all this puja offering, the flower, the fruits, the candle, the incense, or whatever we offer to the Triple Gem, they are all from our common pool fund, this retreat common pool fund. So whoever participates for this retreat, whatever donation, offering, or even the money you pay, the 350 or 280 or whatever amount, you get to partake with all this money channeled towards a common pool. Then all Kayanamita also get to partake, because our Kayanamita fund offered 4,000 ringgit. We can rejoice. Sadhu, 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 to our retreat common fund. That's why everything we do is from the common fund. So that you get to partake all the activity for this retreat. Even all the material, whiteboard that we bought, the writing pen, duster, even this chair that I use, and all the other things that they bought, the requisite, and also the day-to-day use. Then people donate the beverages, everything. So these are all very wholesome. This will help to build up Dana Parami, partake in all the wholesomeness and the merits and the blessing that we get to accrue. Then today, the Bodhisattva vow ceremony, puja, to mark the ceremony is very useful, very important. You pay attention. Now we will do the chanting first. Okay? Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha, then the virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Jun Ti Pu Sa. Namo Jun Ti Pu Sa. Namo Jun Ti Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Okay, we will skip the precept because this morning we just took them. Then you go to page 3. We will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin Pujayami Munindas Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumenanena Punnena Mattena Chohotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Muttamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Muttamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Muttamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the great significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to help illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently start on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of our overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Then turn to the next page. Yeah? We will do the invocation to the devas. Engbi, huh? You get the mic. Huh? I will chant the English version. Then Engbi will chant the Pali. Huh? Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas and deity come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munira Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Paritta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Paritta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Paritta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisadam Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisayukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo jali karaniyo nu terang penyakitang kasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Do it mindfully. Buddhang pujjami. Dhammang pujjami. Sanghang pujjami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then you take out the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. So this blue book, with the Kuan Yin in front. So this book is very important. It's based on my four lessons of sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way. Then it so happened after they did the transcript, I look at it. It can be compiled into a book. That's how this book come along. And this book also came from our Kayamita Fund, sponsored by Kayamita Fund. So page 10, Introduction to the Causes and Conditions for this sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way. Then at that time I say, just relax your body and mind, and we will start our sharing. Tonight's session will be very unique and special, as I had promised you all many months ago, even before the Amazon spiritual trip, to speak on this topic, walking the Bodhisattva Way or cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. I knew then there were causes and conditions for such a teaching to come to this world. And this particular condition was very unique, because it actually came about when I was sharing the Buddha Dhamma earlier on. Somehow this particular topic kept on arising. Then the funny thing is, all of a sudden, many Kayanamitas wrote to me to inquire about this topic. They asked me about this type of cultivation. A few of them even told me before this, they dare not even dream of taking the Bodhisattva Way. They were already very contented with the sainthood way. But somehow things happened. Deep inside, they felt there was something they had to do. Then because of all this condition, when I saw the email and inquiry, I replied to them all. Then later on, another strong condition arose when I was at the Ciji Jingshi bookshop at Tropicana Mall. I just picked up one book with the title Wu Liang Yi Jing. I didn't really know what this Wu Liang Yi Jing was all about. I only knew it was a Pure Land teaching. So I flicked over the book and I saw this sutta. Then when I read the sutta, I found it strange but familiar. It first talked about the cultivation of these great beings, the Bodhisattvas, and how they cultivated the Bodhisattva Way. Then there was another section that talked about the perfection of Pusien Pusa. It was all in the sutta. Then when I read the one on the Bodhisattva Way, which I wrote to you all later on, it was so beautiful, because everything that was written there, I realized I had already done them all before. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who has the affinity, born of their past cultivation. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew this was something where they had to seriously develop the understanding. Then when I started to share, some of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, I came to know that many cultivators and living beings, because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of the way, they not even dream of walking this way because it appeared like impossible to them. They had this thought that told them, this is not for me, impossible. But this is a fallacy. This is what your thought was saying. That's why when you understand this teaching and the great vows, perfection and virtue of all these great beings, especially four pusat, which are the great Bodhisattva and Sammasambuddha, you will come to know how unique and special they are. You only need to develop the very strong faith, the sincerity and the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them and connect to their nature. Then their nature will take you along and help you walk this way. The only thing you need is the three qualities that I always talk about. That is the faith, the sincerity and the diligence to persevere. You must have very strong faith in the triple gem, and then you have to be very sincere. The third one is diligence or perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect to the way. You can develop affinity with all the great beings. And when the affinities are there, the Bodhisattva way becomes very clear and easy. That's why you need to cultivate affinity with the triple gem. That's the reason why the Buddha asked you to take refuge. Taking refuge is to cultivate strong affinity. But many Theravada practitioners fail to understand what taking refuge in the triple gem meant. The triple gem actually represents all the Buddhas, all the truth, which is the teachings and all the enlightened disciples of the Buddhas. That's the reason why the triple gem is very unique and very beautiful. These three qualities are not difficult if you already have the understanding. So as you cultivate, as you move along the path of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have affinity with this great being, and you have the determination to cultivate this Bodhi mind, the cultivation will become easy. Do you all remember our Taiwan spiritual trip where we visited Zhongtai Chanshi? Do you know what was written on their leaflet? What was the main reason this monastery was built? It was told to us that every year millions of people will come and visit their way place. Then what do they look forward to? Yes, the Bodhi thought. To plant the seed of Bodhi, to arise the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh, to go this way. Cultivators and visitors to their way place only have to develop the faith and condition to arise the single thought of Bodhi to walk this way. Then the world will never be lacking in all the great things, because it all started with that single thought of Bodhi. It is just this single thought of Bodhi to realize enlightenment. Then one must have the faith, the perseverance and compassion to walk this way. I will connect all this understanding to the Bodhisattva precept and its vows. The Bodhisattva precept and vows are very important. These initial precepts and the vows can already take you along. But later on, as you walk this path or this way, you will know how to modify all these basic vows to suit. And you can also include all the special vows that your nature has. You will come to understand all this later on. That's why every Bodhisattva is different. Every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva are basically always the same. And they complement the three types of pure precept which the Bodhisattva takes. I will explain them to you later. Now I will read to you some of the email I received for you to develop the faith and the understanding. Then we can continue with this sharing. If you have any question you can ask, you are free to ask. Do make use of this condition to ask. While this form of mind is still around, whatever you want to know about this way and the Buddha Dhamma, you should ask. Otherwise, when the condition ceases, whatever you want to ask is already too late. It was the case of Venerable Ananda. When Sakyamuni mentioned that he was about to pass in 3 months' time, Ananda was crying in grief because he was only a Sotapan then. And he had so much emotion until he forgot to ask the Buddha all the important questions. Luckily, Venerable Anuruddha, the other disciple of the Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few key questions before the passing away of Shakyamuni Buddha. Hence, at the last minute, Venerable Ananda went to ask the Buddha those important questions. He asked the Buddha, "After you are gone, who shall we follow?" The Buddha replied, "Follow the Sutta and the Vinaya." This means all the discourses he had taught and all the precepts he has laid down. The main core precept must be held onto. But he did say, as for the minor precept, one can do away with them depending on the condition and the situation. After that, I think Venerable Ananda was also told to ask a few other questions, even though what he wanted most was the Buddha to stay back. But the Buddha said no point, because when the Buddha made the decision, he told Ananda, "This physical body, the Nimanakaya of the Buddha, was already like a worn-out puloka, waiting to collapse any time. Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the world and sentient beings have deprived him of enough rest. That was the reason why he passed away early at the age of 80 only, whereas most of his disciples were able to live until the age of 120. As per my advice, when there are conditions, do make full use of them." Okay, I will read to you one of these email that I have compiled and sent out. I think there are two. I will read to you the first one. Then concerning Sutta of Innumerable Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, chapter 1 on virtue. This one you must listen attentively, so that your faith is very strong. So that you understand, if you walk the way, the Bodhisattva way, what type of being you will be. You have to listen to this. When you walk this way, when you take the Bodhisattva precepts, do start with the planting of the first seed of Bodhi thought or the Bodhi mind, because finally your whole cultivation will embody all this understanding. This is mentioned in the Sutta of Innumerable Meaning, chapter 1 on virtue. So the whole cultivation centered on virtue, nothing else. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. So always remember, if you cultivate, whatever cultivation you do, if it's the correct one according to Shakyamuni Buddha's guideline, you will finally develop great virtue. If you cultivate and yet there is no virtue in you or hardly any virtue in you, then you have to check. Well, virtue is the most powerful. Without wisdom, there is no virtue. With wisdom comes virtue. That's why all cultivation leads to wisdom, which will condition great virtue. The Sutta said, this is the part I want you to understand, then you will really have the faith and you really want to go this way. True Bodhisattva are wise beings with great compassion. You want to become wise being with great compassion or not? Then that is the opening statement. Then the sutta further describes, their mind are tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire, and immune from all kind of delusion or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of translucent purity, with vast profound vows. They hold these vows unwavering for countless eons. Having attained great wisdom, they penetrate all law and come to understand all the innumerable teaching. They bring refreshing coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless love and compassion, they work to relieve suffering beings. Bodhisattva are living beings' true friend, mentor, and guide. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing without being asked. They offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of security and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precepts of purity and never break them even at the cost of their life. They never become angry even when harmed, cursed, and insulted. Their mind abide in Dhamma day and night. They abide in their vows of purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesomeness of body, speech, and mind. So this is something that you have to develop as understanding. You will become so beautiful every time you come, because that is what a bodhisattva is. So if you want to have all this beautiful mind state, tranquility, abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire, and immune from all kind of delusion, wrong thought, and suffering, then you should really seriously walk this way. So this is the part, hopefully you can understand. Then after that, I received a few more of this type of email. One of them was from a very special Kayamita. It was definitely a lady. Yeah, all these were written mainly by ladies. The title she used was Arahanta in the Bodhisattva Way. She said, I have been resisting giving the issue about the Arahant and Bodhisattva vow very seriously. Any serious thought. Since I am still a puttajana, no wisdom as yet. I have intended to wait until I have some measure of wisdom, that is after attaining the path and fruition, before deciding on a specific path to take. However, there seems to be some unease each day. For the time being, I only aspire to work towards arahantship. I have no courage or wisdom whatsoever to walk the Bodhisattva path. Then last Friday, the 10th of October 2014, when I read your email about the Bodhisattva way, I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to tears that my tears flow freely. I am similarly moved to tears each time I read mindfully Pusien Pusa's 10 great vow in Mandarin. After your explanation, I knew they are tears of gratitude and joy. Then on Monday, I received a WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking me to seal Bodhi Singh. It means to cultivate the Bodhi mind, to walk the Bodhisattva way. So these two reminders came back, meaning to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and to walk the Bodhisattva path. Somehow this time I didn't resist, and I kneel humbly before the Buddha Rupang and express very sincerely my initial aspiration or vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, and humbly ask Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. Then when I sat down to meditate, the Heart Sutta kept playing non-stop in my heart, even when I was sleeping. This lasted for a few days. I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Hope I have the condition to cultivate the parami needed to support me along the way. The second part is on delusion and dream state. When I contemplated on all the dreams that I had, I realized that when this egoic self was not the main character in the dream, I had complete awareness of the dream from when it was about to start right to the end when the dream ends. I could even become a critic of the dream in the dream state itself. However, when the egoic self or mind was the main character, the dream, in the dream, such detached awareness of its arising was lost, and I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in the emotion and feeling. This delusion was extremely strong, and an example was the dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very tall ladder when I was about 3 steps below the peak or summit. I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I couldn't see the ground. Then I sensed the feeling of fear arising. Then suddenly a very strong voice said, "You are not dizzy and you are not falling." Instantly, all the feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete change. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Bratio, thank you so much for taking time to read my ramblings. Your patience and compassion inspire and drive me on to cultivate sincerely with metta and respect, always, then sign. So this was the email. We should all rejoice with the wholesomeness. We are saying, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then there are many of you. Maybe at this point of time, you may not know your past as yet, because you have not really connected and developed the ability to recall your past cultivation. Not really in the sense of recalling past life. Recall here means, after you have connected, then all the understanding will come back to you. It is not about reading past life, because this spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. I had explained this during our last Thursday class sharing. The transcript is going to be ready soon. You should read the book, Who Are You? What Are You? Again. How the two natures, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature, interact, and how the form and mind comes about. So who are you? What are you? It's all clearly explained in the book, like what I had explained. The moment you are born, karma will come into play, because according to the Buddha, you are born of your karma. And when the Buddha said you are born of your karma, he is not referring to your true nature. He is referring to your form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind, which are subject to karma. Then there is another nature, which is the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is unlike your karmic nature. Just like what I explained in the talk, it is all in the transcript book. It's very easy to understand and also very clearly explained in there. Regarding this spiritual nature, not until you connect with your true nature, you cannot inherit anything from it. When you know how to meditate and how to silence your mind, then you can connect. The moment the silent mind touches the nature, the form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast.
It will understand what sati is. It will also understand what that nature is. Then once you go through cessation, you would have passed by the enlightenment stages of the sainthood way. But if you have cultivated this before, it will move across very fast, and you will reach back to your past cultivation pretty fast. That's how you inherit. Then if you want to, you can understand many things via the silent mind. Once connected, you inherit your nature's past perfection and cultivation. You will understand the Dhamma very fast and very easily. You may also come to realize that earlier on, you may not understand many of these things, but all of a sudden, you can understand them now. And there are a lot of things you will come to understand, things which you may not have learned before, learn them this life yet. You can understand. You will also come to know how they actually arise, and how they pass away, and how this is possible. Just like what happened to me since the year 1986, everything just happened. The teacher came, the book came, and the guide came. Then within 3 years after I connect, all this past understanding came back to me. Then when I read the sutta, or when I hear truth, I could just understand. Then even though some of this understanding were not written in any book before, there was no doubt or fear, nothing, because the Dhamma is pacetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And there is no doubt, and everything is very clear. Because of that, you will also come to understand all this when the time comes. That's why I always say, you will never know who you are until you connect. Do you remember Brother Song? He is the only male Kayamita connected to thus far. He always talked to me, but he never write me any email. Initially, he also had this thought because the mundane mind could not understand. He always said, he was very cha, in Mandarin, hen cha, meaning very slow and weak in his cultivation. But the moment he connect, he moves so fast. How is it possible? Things that he never understood before after he connect, the moment he read my Dhamma notes, my transcript, the dependent origination, or Paticchasamubbada teaching again, he straight away understand, despite the fact that before he connect, he had tried reading them 6 times, yet he could not understand. But all of a sudden, after he connect, he read the notes again, and he could understand. The reason being, this teaching comes from the silent mind. So if you had not realized the silent mind's awakening, you cannot understand. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about the great difference between thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. The rest you can go and read on your own. I have to move on faster, otherwise it will take up the whole session. Turn to page 47. So this one will be a very important sharing session. So this one is, I think, after the meditation, I think I ring the bell, ding, ding, ding. I say, okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to continue to meditate, they can go on. For those who are enough, slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Always remember, you are here to cultivate. Oh, sorry, you are here to train the mind so that it has the stability of mindfulness or sati within you. This trained mind is the meditative mind that you need to use to cultivate the daily mindfulness, to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. then you will become heedful. And the heedful never dies. You can do that in the midst of life. It means you are destined for enlightenment. With this understanding, hopefully, you will understand why you meditate and the purpose of meditation. When this is clear, your cultivation becomes easy. Today's talk of sharing on understanding how the Bodhisattva way can be cultivated is very important. Well, this is the cultivation that can help you greatly while walking the path of Dhamma. You not only will have the condition to become enlightened, but you can also develop great wisdom so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you can teach, share, and take beings across to liberate them. Without this understanding, it's very difficult to penetrate the Dhamma, especially the three marks or three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Give me a minute, I need the reading glass. When you have the wisdom and the right understanding, you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world. Then you will not cling. You will not hold on to the five aggregate of form and mind. That's the reason why the Diamond Sutta said, the Bodhisattva will cultivate the Bodhisattva way with understanding that there is no mark of a person or self-cultivating. There is no mark of living being and there is no mark of Dhamma. Then everything will be clear. Besides this, this cultivation of the Bodhisattva vow and the Bodhisattva way, following the Diamond Sutta teaching, will pave the way for a lot of important understanding to arise. Without this understanding, it's really difficult to understand the true Buddha Dhamma. We are going to base our today's sharing on this book, The Bodhisattva Precept Leading to Buddhahood by Master Sun Yat. Master Sun Yat is the late abbot of Fa Kusan. He is from Taiwan. I think he passed away a few years back. He is a very good monk. He is an expert in meditation. His forte in the Buddhist tradition is meditation. Whereas Suci, their forte is cultivating the great compassion in life. Meaning in time of suffering, calamity, major disaster, they are there to relieve suffering. So they manifest compassion in action. That's how they train many of the followers to become Bodhisattva. And they call them the Bodhisattva among living beings, Zhen Jian Pusa, within society. For Fo Guang San, their specialty or forte is very different. They are very strong in Buddhist study and Buddhist education. That's the reason why they can have very beautiful temple and very good teachers who can teach you. All this are the different Buddhist traditions, with each doing their own special work to help mankind or humanity. When you combine these three traditions and practices, you become a very complete and very good practitioner. First, if you would like to learn the teaching, the Buddhist education, you can go to Fo Guang San. After that, you will have to develop the meditation, right? To do that, you can go to Fa Kusan. Later on, when you already have the Dhamma, you can develop compassion in action via taking the Bodhisattva vow to liberate living beings. Then Suci is the place where you can help out a lot and have a lot of opportunity to do this activity. But then, if you are a true cultivator of the way, you will have to develop all these three practices within your own cultivation. So, like my case, I didn't really go to any of these, but I understand their tradition. Because when I took Kayamita on spiritual trip, when I visit their way place, I can understand what they are doing. So this is very important. As a true cultivator, technically you don't have to go anywhere because you know your vows. You know how to cultivate, create affinity with all the great beings, the Bodhisattva and the Buddha. You will come to understand all this, and you will also know how to make the appropriate aspiration via invoking the power of merits, virtue, and cultivation for causes and conditions, for causes and condition for this true Dhamma understanding to be with you, life after life, whenever you have to come, or whenever you choose to come. All these are possible because if you look at the vow objectively, you will come to understand that this vow can provide you with the appropriate condition to develop the cultivation and the understanding. The perfection of the Bodhisattva vow will include the fulfillment of the three sets of pure precepts, which are also the advice of the Sammasambuddha. All these are very beautiful. The right view leading to the right understanding. Then you will vow with great faith and determination to have the following understanding whenever you arise. Right view with regards to the law of karma, how you function as a human being, and the Four Noble Truths. Also, what is this fine aggregate of form and mind? Who are you and what are you? You have to determine to have this understanding life after life, so that you know how to develop the cultivation accordingly, so that you will not get lost. In short, to cut short your cultivation and practice, you must have this determination or aspiration to have this understanding life after life. Otherwise, when you are born in whatever civilization or in any world system, if you don't have this determination or affirmation through the power of merits, you will have a lot of karmic obstruction, and you can never see the light to even have a chance to connect to your true nature. This is because when there is no Buddha Sasana for aeons and aeons, just like what is stated in the opening verse of the Mahayana Sutta, this Dhamma is very rare and very difficult to find. Even in 500 million aeons, you cannot find it unless you have the affinity and the understanding. So this is the reason why Bodhisattva way has to be, this is the reason why the Bodhisattva way has to be understood. Now I will read to you the preliminary general understanding of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, followed by its vow. I compile all this note myself. I will give you all a copy each next Tuesday when you come for the class. So now we have printed the card, a lot easier. The Bodhisattva way cultivation requires the taking of the Bodhisattva vow with understanding. Note this word, in bold, with understanding. You have to take it with understanding, with great sincerity and determination. Of course, the faith is also there. The Bodhisattva vows are vows taken by Mahayana Buddhists to realize complete enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. One who has taken the vow is normally known as a Bodhisattva. The interpretation of who is a true Bodhisattva is very important because a lot of people don't understand. They think that if you aspire to become a Sammasambuddha, then you are a Bodhisattva. That is too general a term. You must have some special prerequisite and condition behind. First, you must have at least have the understanding, and you must also determine sincerely that this is what you truly want. This is how it can help you develop the understanding of the way or the realization of the Dhamma leading to enlightenment and liberation. All these are very important. Bodhi or Bodhi means enlightenment. Satta is a being. So technically a Bodhisattva is an enlightened being walking the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. Of course there are two types of Bodhisattva. The first type is the one who has the condition to become Bodhisattva because they know this way is beautiful and they have the prerequisite qualities. But most of the time, those who have the condition already have the ability to become enlightened. or they have already realized the enlightenment in their past life, then they have the condition to continue their cultivation to this present life because they love this way. But because of eons and eons of birth and death, they could have forgotten who they were, because the bodhisattva vow and the bodhisattva way that they have been cultivating are not stable yet. Finally, they will come back to it, but it will take a long time if you don't have the proper right guidance and understanding. The second type are the ones who are still not enlightened as yet, but they have good teachers and guides who can advise them on how to take the vow and walk this way. They will advise you, and when you have the condition to take the bodhisattva vow, you must do it immediately. This is because you have to plant the seed of bodhi early. You plant the enlightenment thought into your nature. The bodhi seed can only be planted into the nature after you have taken the vow sincerely, with faith and understanding. Once planted firmly, it will manifest whenever you arise, and it will bring forth the way, the causes and conditions for you to connect to your nature. Because of your refuge, your understanding and firm aspiration or affirmation, with this, the first stage of bodhi mind development has been initiated or established. So the first stage of bodhi mind development is relatively much, much more easier. You only need to determine to go this way. Then you take the vow, you plant the seed of bodhi, that's it, finish. Yeah. You are already on the first stage. And everything that you develop through the vow, it will help you in your cultivation to allow you to have the condition to awaken. You will become an enlightened being first. You will go through all the stages of sainthood, accumulating to become arahant, no different. It's like the Theravada sainthood way. You will go through them. But if you have cultivated them before, when you connect, it's like you don't have to do that work again. It's like you just breeze through. Huh? I think the word breeze through is correct. Huh? You know why it's breeze? Like no effort one. Huh? The little wind already take you across. It's like somebody who know how to perform the qing gong, just breeze through. Then you will reach back to your level of cultivation in your past. That's why all of a sudden you realize you are already different, you are already there. But you don't worry. Even you breeze through, you will understand what those stages are. And you can teach people. Yeah. You know it's a glimpse only. Yeah. Then you go through. Then the path and fruition also, you will know what that thing is. So all this is a natural course of the training. Because you have done before. So this life, when you connect, all this become your inheritance. You inherit the spiritual nature's understanding. And it will all come back. Then you will like bridge through. Yeah. Then you will understand them. Then after that, from that level, you look back. That's how you can teach people. You can guide people. Even the sainthood way and the arahant, they can also teach. But provided they have the fruition. After that stage they are in, like Sotapan, after they have the fruition, they can teach up to the level of the first stage of sainthood. Yeah. Then Sakadagami, same. Anagami, same. Even Arahant, same. But only up to that level. Yeah. Because they didn't take the vow, they didn't do the extensive type of cultivation, the perfection of it. So a lot of those things that is beyond them, they cannot teach you, they cannot share with you. Then some Arahant, if they have not been exposed to this Bodhisattva way, they don't even know that this way exists. To them, is liberation, freedom, salvation. Okay? So, with this, I think we will start. Yeah? doing the vow. So take out your yellow card. Yeah? I will guide you. Yeah? So if you can compose your mind, develop the great faith, the sadha, then the sincerity, then persevere, determine. Yeah? Okay. Now I will start. Yeah? You can kneel in front of the altar. Yeah? And with the slip of the card in front of you, then we will recite together. Okay. So I'll read to you. Huh? Bratius Kayamita, huh? Taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Huh? So number one is very important. Making a special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Okay, we will now invoke the aspiration. Together, we chant together or we read together. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and condition for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it choose to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. First right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of dependent origination, or dwelling, citta niyama, and the Four Noble Truths, dhamma niyama. Number two, to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly, via the direct seeing, to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self and empty. That this is so-called human being or living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankara anicchang, sankara anatta, vijnanang anicchang, vijnanang anatta, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkhang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then number three. Having developed the above right view of my vows, to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha. The first pure precept is to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then number two, to cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all. Number three, to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Then number two, taking out the four basic vows. This one is very important. We have to do it with understanding, faith, sincerity. Then we have strong affirmation. So we read together. Just as all the previous Sugata, the Buddha, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too will this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Buddha Sattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Then you make the vow. This nature of mind further vow, with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance, to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva vow. We are taking the following initial four basic vow of the Bodhisattva. This one, I will recite first, then only you recite, better. This nature of my vows, to liberate the countless living beings from samsara, and take them all across to the other shore. The second vow. This nature of my vows, to endure and severe all the section and suffering. The third vow. This nature of my vows, to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. Then the fourth vow. This nature of my vows, to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood. Then turn to the next page. Additional vow, to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. This one is very useful. So when you go through the vow every day, you do this, your karmic obstruction will be eradicated. Then it will be like amicably resolved, so that when you cultivate this way, it will become very easy. Okay, the first additional vow, we recite together. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, and heedlessness, that this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then the second additional vow. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for apology or forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably resolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. The third additional vow. This nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward vow never to repeat any of these karmic negativities born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then the last additional vow. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vow. So all these additional vows are very important. Eh? Mm. Then number four. These are additional miscellaneous vows to enhance your cultivation. So this one is you can evolve yourself, whatever additional miscellaneous vow. But I have given you four very important ones. So hopefully you can, from here, later on as you walk the way, you can expand on it based on your new understanding or whatever understanding that is peculiar to your nature. Okay, together we recite. This nature of my vow, to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soonest possible, to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guideline always. Guidance. To strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become balas or power, life after life, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. To cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trial, difficulties, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we chant the salutation. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, we are still early, 9:52. So let us rejoice together. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. And my nature rejoices with all your wholesomeness. Because these are very beautiful moments in your life. And this can change your life destiny from now onward. This type of bodhisattva vow is different from the usual one. Because this one is done with more understanding. You invoke power of merits for you to have this type of affirmation, to have this type of Dhamma understanding, right view, and the important essential Dhamma, and how to break the karmic obstruction, and how to cultivate affinity with all the great beings. These are not in the normal bodhisattva vow, and they are seldom taught. Because they want you to plant the seed of Bodhi, take the vow, then most of the time, people are not able to guide you further from that. Then you have to find the way yourself. But when you have the understanding to invoke your power and merit for causes and conditions, to have this type of right understanding, right view with regards to the essential Dhamma, life after life, whenever you come, or whenever you choose to come, you become different. Then when you invoke power of affinity, when you cultivate the affinity with all these great beings, then you invoke their blessing, protection, and guidance. Their vow will take you along. Technically, you don't have to do much thing. Then your four basic vow will also take you along, because these are the work you have to do to realize perfect enlightenment. The first vow, where you vow to liberate the limitless living being in this entire existence, is to cultivate love and compassion so that you can come and do this work life after life. And this is the one that can bring you back even after you become Arahant. You will come to this conditioned world not the normal ignorant way or deluded way like normal living being. You will come back with a pure mind, born of love and compassion, and activated by the vow. Because your karmic nature is still there. That's why you can activate and bring forth the causes and conditions for you to come. But you need a pure mind, where you are no longer deluded, no more ignorant. The Arahant beyond no more. But you need a mind. So this mind is out of love and compassion for living being. You make that vow, you make that affirmation, then it goes into the nature's law. Then the pure thought, the pure mind, love and compassion can condition a segmented life or a vehicle and a tool to via your karmic nature to come. That's how Bodhisattva come. So the first vow is very important. You have to vow to do that work. Then the second vow is to assist you in your cultivation. You vow to endure and severe all suffering or vexation. How do you end suffering? How do you severe and endure suffering? Means you must have wisdom. You must have understanding. So the perfection of renunciation is the one. So when you cultivate all this understanding, then you can renounce everything that is not real. That's why you can renounce your own form and mind. You can renounce even whatever that you hold on to. It's the virtue of renunciation that can enable you to endure and severe all suffering and affliction so that nothing can affect you. If you cannot renounce even the Dhamma, you will attach to the Dhamma. It will give rise to suffering. You cannot renounce all your wrong view with regards to living being. You will have suffering. And if you cannot renounce the sensual world or the condition arising world, you will also be afflicted. You will also have suffering. That's why the second basic vow, it will help you develop and perfect that perfection of renunciation. And at the same time, you develop a lot of wisdom. Because you will keep on coming as a bodhisattva for very long. And you will be exposed to a lot of different civilization. Sometimes different world system, different condition. And their whatever existential or life condition can be very different. But because you walk this way, you will have the understanding to endure and severe. But these are all not real. Then you learn to complete the perfection of renunciation. Then when you can do that, you are actually more or less very, very wise already, very different already. Your wisdom is there. Then the third vow becomes very easy to penetrate and perfect all wisdom. So that Prajna Paramita perfection through the third vow. will complete your perfection of prajna paramita or wisdom. So all this, the vow actually serves the purpose. Then of course, by the time you finish the third vow, you already have all the virtue, the understanding, the wisdom perfected. Then the other balance of parami is very easy. The first vow already cultivated love and compassion. Then after your enlightenment, equanimity, everything will be there. So it is a natural course. As you take the vow will lead you. Then your affinity with all the great being, their vow will also support you. That's why the Pure Land actually a very major part of their cultivation is to invoke affinity with Amitabha Buddha and connect to the 48 vow of Amitabha Buddha. That's why it will create the causes and conditions for them to take birth in the Pure Land. And in the Pure Land, it's so easy to cultivate because that Pure Land is created by Amitabha Buddha through his vow on the sana. Then inside the Pure Land, they are all enlightened beings. That's why you can learn a lot of things very fast. But if you understand the Pure Land cultivation, do you think they just go to Pure Land and forever stay there? No. You know what they must do or not? They must come back to the conditioned world. Because they are not within the 31 plane of existence. They have to come back to test themselves. To go through the test. To go through the whatever cultivation in the midst of the conditioned world. But when they are there, their cultivation is different. And they will understand a lot of things very fast. But the problem is, when you come back to the existential world and take birth as a segmented form in mind, it's a new training totally. Because when you are there cultivating, you only cultivate all the beautiful cultivation and everything. But when you come as a living being, you are actually back to square one, no, initially, before you connect. So that phase, they have to learn. That's why they have to experience. They have to go through. Then they improve their vow. Then they actually continuously improve their understanding. Then only after they have developed the ability to understand fully all this, then when they return to the Pure Land, they will know what to do. And they will progress very fast. And Pure Land got a lot of understanding of cultivation. There are a lot of these enlightened beings, great beings. They are all there because of Amitabha's vow. So in a way, Pure Land teaching is easier, but not really that easy. Because you still have to come back to our conditioned world. You still have to go through the experience of the 31 plane of existence and all those things. But don't worry about that. If you can follow this format that I've given you, you already have the ability to progress very fast. Because during the non-sasana, let's say another 2,000 years later, when Sakyamuni sasana no more, you may still have to come, understand? Or some of you maybe choose to come. Then you will have the understanding. Then you don't worry. Even without sasana, you won't get lost. Otherwise, my nature realized a lot of cultivators, during the non-sasana, they get lost. And the karmic obstruction again comes. Then they have to wait till the next window, the next sasana, because your field of merit, your blessing, your parami during sasana, even if you have not met my nature or have taken this vow, you also have your parami from your past cultivation. And most of these, you develop it during sasana. Because sasana, the teaching is there. And the type of merits are very powerful compared to deluded being. So because you have that, whenever there is a sasana, the next window, chances of you taking birth is very high. I remember, was it Tuesday class or Thursday class when I shared that during the time of Mahakasapa Buddha, there are 7 monks who very, very dedicated in their cultivation. Then they decide to went up to a mountain because they really want to do it. Then they move that ladder away, you know, so that nobody can come down because it's very steep. Then they have food for the 1 week or what only. Yeah, food and water. So what happened is, it's called, I think it's from Vamika Sutta. Now I know the Sutta. Yeah, I told you that day, I'm not sure of the Sutta. Yeah, I taught before. Yun Chan also know about it during the early day. It was a very good Sutta. So under the Vamika Sutta, the 7 of them went up there. One of them became an arahant, and they vowed to help each other, no? Whoever realized to help each other. But the arahant, after he has already become arahant, he cannot stay on, understand? He parinibbana finish. Then the other one is anagami. So when the first arahant became an arahant, they all motivated. So the second monk become an anagami. But this anagami got jhana one, got psychic one. Yeah, it's a byproduct. That's why he can take birth in the pure air, but the Brahma rhyme. So this is the one that helped them use his psychic to bring water, to bring food to them, so that they can continue their cultivation. Yeah. But the balance of 5 didn't make it. They die up there. And you know what happened to them? Just because of their paramiya, during the time of Kasapa Buddha, he's a samasa, and they were very sincere, full of faith, dedicated, they cultivate. Because of that life, their cultivation, I think they also have certain aspiration. After that sasana over, they die. Their birth is always in the Deva rhyme now, the 6th Deva rhyme. At any one time, until Sakyamuni Sasana arise. Then when Sakyamuni Buddha Sasana arise, then only they take human birth. No? And now you understand what I'm trying to tell you. If let's say they don't have that virtue and that 7 monks agreement, they cannot become human and come down, understand? They will take human birth, of course, during the next window because of their parami during Kasapa Buddha's time, because they are around that sasana. And that mirror is very, very potent, very powerful. Yeah. But because of their sincerity, their cultivation, every life they take birth in the Deva Raya for the whole sasana. The period of non-sasana until Sakyamuni. If you have such parami, then okay, anasana. If you don't have such parami, you go all over the 31 plane, I tell you, you will have a lot of coming obstruction. So these people are very special. Then when they came down, they are still deluded, you know, before they connect. But out of the 5, there is one, 7 years old become arahant. Oh, that one very special because he actually almost make it one, but he didn't make it. Then he take birth in the Deva Raya, come out, become arahant. Then the other few, their life were actually not smooth, but because that Brahma promised to help them, he came down and talked to them, and tell them, don't waste your time, there is a Samasa Buddha there, So got one guy, he walked for very far. No? I don't know it took him how long. He walked all the way to see Sakyamuni Buddha. No? Then one of them, immediately he met Sakyamuni Buddha. He was Pindapata. Then the disciple of the Buddha tell him, you cannot, you don't interfere with the Buddha. But he told the disciple, he said, no, I must see the Buddha. They say, why? Wait till his Pindapata finish. He said, I might not have time. Oh, because the Brahma told him, you may not have time, Yeah, the Brahma he knew a lot of things. Then the Buddha checked, then realized that what he said is very true. Then he pleaded to the Buddha, and the Buddha told Ananda, the disciple, okay, let him come. So he came. Then the Buddha asked him, what is it that you want? He said, I was told you are the Sammasambuddha. I need you to guide me so that I can cultivate and realize enlightenment. And because the Buddha knew, then the Buddha tell him, okay, you listen. He just finished the six sense door thing. In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing is only the hearing consciousness. Then he repeat for the nose, tongue, tactile, and thought. Immediately after that, he become arahant. So, you go and read yourself. See whether you become arahant. Just the six sense door. He become arahant. Then after that, he was full of joy. He thanked the Buddha. Then he wants to take refuge and become a monk under the Buddha. The Buddha said, Ken, you go and get your rope while I go Pinnapat. The moment he walked down, one bull, one cow, gore him to death. Actually, that cow was a yakka, one of the yakka. They call ogi, I don't know what. It is a non-human manifest. But this one is past coming. That non-human want to take revenge. Then because of karma, if he become arahant, he got no chance to take revenge. So immediately come down, go to death. Then the other one was, I forgot, there are five. Very interesting. One of them supposed to go walk all the way to look for the Buddha at Sarvati. But halfway, actually, he met the Buddha, but he didn't know it was the Buddha. Then the Buddha actually, together with him, I think he asked him where he stayed. I think he was taking a temporary residence at one of the abandoned houses or the one. Then the Buddha said, can I join you? He said, yes. Then the Buddha asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Sarvati to look for the Buddha. Actually, the Buddha is in front of him, but he didn't know. Then the Buddha asked him, what is it that you want from the Buddha? He said, I want him to guide me, to teach me, to train me. I want to take refuge under him so that I can realize the enlightenment, the truth. Then the Buddha said, okay, you listen. Again, very simple sutta. Straight away, arahant. That's why you have such parami, you can meet the Sammasambuddha. Chances is very high. So, not everyone have that nature. But these people, the five of them, they were actually direct disciple of Kassapa Buddha. And Kassapa Buddha is a Sammasambuddha like Sakyamuni. You think they all kalefair. Where I got kalefair? They are real monk. That's why actually their parami is already there. And when the condition arrives, they will take human birth. So you also have to have the understanding that you know how to make the aspiration and the vow so that you can take human birth and vow to meet up with the Sammasambuddha and vow to recognize the Sammasambuddha. Otherwise you meet and you don't recognize her. Luckily, that one meet, don't recognize, but the Buddha actually helped him. He is not arrogant. He didn't like that merchant. The first merchant asked him, who is your teacher? Luckily, he didn't ask that. So, you need to have all this understanding so that you won't make mistakes. And all this is going to be very helpful for your cultivation. It will bring forth great condition. Great parami, for you to have the appropriate causes and conditions to fulfill all your vows. And one day, you can also realize the great Sammasambuddhahood. Then you can be a blessing to the world, to all. Okay? So with this, I will end the taking of the Bodhisattva mark and the puja, everything we have done, so we can revert back to our original schedule. Huh? Okay, our original schedule, we are supposed to sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, very good. Yeah, you should rejoice. Okay. Now we will revert to our normal schedule. Huh? You're supposed to meditate at what time? What is it? Oh, after take photo. Huh? I think better take photo now. Otherwise, too late for them. Huh? Okay, take photo. Okay. Since there some of them are going back, huh? We can take photo. Oh yeah, we take photo, huh? Okay. You want to take here or down there? Down there, huh? Okay. We all assemble down there, okay? Remember to be aware, mindful. This one must constantly remind you all. Otherwise, you forget. Okay.